The Gold Coast's 92.5 Triple M Gold.
With another Flan, Ali and Spider podcast.
Okay, it is a big one. Let's get through it. Flan, live on air from 5 a.m. we are, and you heard something quite unusual that the bloke delivers sushi in his boot, and you thought that could be a good movie.
Well, Ali did. She said, that sounds like a dodgy movie to me, and I thought, well, why don't we just fire up and play the movie trailer to a movie called Sushi in My Boot.
We have that movie trailer coming up. Spider getting involved with Alison's fitness journey. You know, Alison on the show. You weren't really happy about Spider's involvement this morning, but that is all part of this podcast.
He's a turd.
Yep. That'll be confirmed, no doubt. Ali asks on a Wednesday around weddings.
Yes, I do. I want to know, what were you forced to do for your wedding?
Taunton, part of GC Laughs. Sam is on the show. He's a funny man. And with the Matildas getting a statue, we asked, do they need one? Do they deserve one? And who else deserves a statue, a bronze statue? That coming up, part of this podcast.
Now, look, I wanted to throw something at you. Mm-hmm. This is obviously very sad news coming out of North Queensland. A man has passed away after being bitten by an eastern brown snake.
Ooh, yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I think this is timely for us to have a chat about what you should do in that instance. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask you whether you know what you should do. If you've been bitten or someone that you're with has been bitten by an eastern brown, let's chat through what you need to know. Do you have any idea? I'll start with you, Spider.
I would say you put a circle or a mark around the area, and then you put pressure above it, not over it.
Okay. Flanny, do you know?
First thing you should do, as I understand it, is bite the snake back because he needs to get the message.
Okay, look, I can't see that amongst the instructions.
I believe you are meant to wrap the wound initially around the wound first with a bandage and then move towards the heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what Spider said, really.
A good friend of the show's is Tony Harrison, who is the Gold Coast's most prominent snake catcher. I think
he's been bitten a few times.
Compression bandage, stay really still.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. Don't move. Don't move. Don't increase your heart rate.
Well, look, I think that I don't think anyone will mind. I'm going to actually read out what it says here.
Okay.
What to do if someone is bitten. Reassure the casualty and keep them as still as possible to stop the venom spreading.
Yeah.
You need to constantly observe the patient and be ready to react with, it's saying DRSABCD, which is danger, deal with danger, seek a response, send for help. Check the airway, check breathing, perform CPR if you need to, and provide defibrillation. Yeah. Obviously, that would be when someone gets it with a defib. So, yes, as you said, Spider, apply the pressure immobilization technique using pressure bandages and a splint or sling to limit the flow of venom. So it doesn't necessarily – it says for a bite on the limb, use a wide elastic bandage, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But not so tight it cuts off the circulation. Apply a second heavy elastic bandage starting from the fingers or toes and winding up the limb as far as possible. Mark the bite site with a pen. Use a splint for the leg or a sling for the arm to immobilize the limb. For a bite on an area of the body where pressure bandage cannot be applied, make sure you maintain firm pressure. So where would that be, I guess? Like, say, on the chest.
Maybe if it bit you
on the chest or something, apply firm pressure. Do not attempt to capture or kill the snake.
No.
Nor to cut the bite and suck the venom
out. No, don't do that. That's the old Hollywood version.
That's something that Chuck Norris would do.
Yeah, back in the day, didn't they? The old Western movies, they would all do that.
Could I add, I reckon pulling out your mobile phone and getting a quick photo of the snake might not be the dumbest thing you ever did in your life.
Yeah, I agree.
Just to identify it to
you
the
know
doctors.
What you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good call, Flanny. Mm-hmm.
So that's really unfortunate because there's not many deaths.
No. I think it's the first person to pass away from a snake bite this year. And there were two last year that died from snake bite. Yeah. So maybe we should get Tony Harrison on again.
Really?
Tony is unreal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Eastern Brown's second most venomous in the world.
What's the most venomous? Taipan?
I think, inland taipan is up there. And we have them both.
Beauty.
And then we've got funnel webs that also can do some damage.
And crocodiles.
And then Irukandji.
Sharks.
What else?
There's no way to survive this continent.
Koalas that fall out of trees.
Oh, they're right on your head.
We live in the luckiest country, it's so don't good. We?
It is so good.
I guess everything comes in balance, doesn't Absolutely. It? We do live in the best country in the world, so it can't all yeah, be yeah, yeah. good. Can't otherwise, everyone would want to be here.
You know that 80% of animals in Australia are native to Australia only.
Wow.
This is a true fact. You know, they've just named the AFL team the Tassie Devils.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
When they got the guys over from the United States, from Warner Brothers, to say, you know, this is our, they didn't know the Tassie Devil was an actual animal.
Oh, animal.
They thought they'd come up with it themselves. And then they go, have we really, like, is this an animal?
Oh, my God.
They had no idea that this was once actually a real animal.
Americans think that kangaroos go down our main streets. You know, come on.
They actually do.
In some parts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not in our cities.
In a meat truck.
No.
Here it is, the 92.5 Triple M Gold podcast with Flan, Ali and Spider.
Question.
Ask me. Ali asks.
What were you forced to do for your wedding? So I've got a younger couple in my life, really lovely couple. I'm so excited for them to be getting married.
Okay.
The issue, so I'm close to the bride. So the issue is that the groom has a brother that is a bit dodgy. He's been in trouble with the law and...
He's loose.
And so the brother wasn't going to ask him to be in the bridal party.
Oh, wow, okay.
However...
That's full on.
The mum of the groom has absolutely blown up deluxe and said, no, you have to have brother in your wedding party.
That's not really cool.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's to the point where they're actually considering, she's even thinking about not having bridesmaids just to make it easier, just to make this go away. I mean, I'm sure
Says you have to?
Exactly. I'm sure we all agree that the mother-in-law is absolutely kidding herself.
Yeah, that's a terrible way to get involved.
Exactly.
That's not the way to behave around
a wedding. When they were growing up, were they really close? Is it only recent years that he's gone loose?
Yeah,
so,
it is.
You know, you've got to kind of date things back as well. If he's been a big part of his life for 25 years and it's only the last 2 years.
But
that's mum getting involved to satisfy her feelings about her son and wants for him to feel included. It's not his wedding.
Well, that's it. And that, to me, at the end of the day, that's it in a nutshell. You shouldn't be forced to do anything you don't want to on your wedding day. And think of the money, time and effort that goes into a wedding, but also the emotion behind it. You know,
you could, like myself and Flance, or even yours, Ellie, you tell the mother-in-law, look, let the brother be a part of the second wedding.
The inevitable second wedding.
We've all been there.
Yes, he will have straightened himself.
I said, no, you'll be best man next time. Come on, there's going to be other chances.
He's the best.
My first wedding, Ali, I turned up at the venue and I hadn't seen the venue the day before for the reception.
Yep.
I turned up and the room that we were having the reception in had paintings all around the wall, like murals, and they were all of pirate ships and pirates. Ah. It was so tacky.
Was this your first wedding to your ex-wife?
Yeah, it wasn't, Lisa.
Well, I would love to know, what were you forced to do for your wedding? Sue in Surfers Paradise, what were you forced to do, lovely? Was it you or someone else?
No, me. I was forced to get married.
Oh, how did that come about?
What do you mean?
My dad and I were in the car driving to the church, and I said, I don't want to do this, Dad. And he goes, don't be stupid, you're doing it.
Wow.
And then he started talking to the driver as if I really wasn't there and it didn't matter. Needless to say, I'm not married anymore to that man, but I am married, and I'm coming up to my 25th wedding anniversary.
This is a lesson in following your own instincts, isn't it?
And we don't want to date back, but how long did that first marriage last?
About 5 years, and probably one was happy.
5 years. Hey, Sue, I'd really love to know, what was it that made you second guess, and why were you thinking of pulling out at that final hour?
Yeah.
Because I knew I didn't love him.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
you, Sue. Thank you for sharing, Sue. Honestly, there would be a lot of people in that same boat.
And love's love.
Oh, you're a doodle egg. Jane in Mermaid, what were you forced to do for your wedding?
I was forced to call mine off.
How come?
Well, it's a long story, but let's just say there was a baby involved and it wasn't mine.
Janie. Bloody hell.
Best thing I ever did, in hindsight. At the time, I was a bit upset, but now, looking back on it, best thing I ever did.
Okay. Well, how close to the wedding did you find out that he'd I presume made someone else pregnant.
That you were an auntie.
I did know for a little while, but okay. It was actually his dealing with the situation coming up to the wedding, and so I called it off the week before.
Okay, good on you. That's brave, James.
It's very brave indeed when you wanted to be a mum, but he made you into an auntie. Get ready.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane-o.
That's okay, guys.
Catherine in Robina, what were you forced to do for your wedding?
My best friend wanted us to wear burnt orange taffeta as a bridesmaid's dress.
Oh. Yeah.
With the full-on fluffy, frilly, bouncy thing.
Yeah.
So you look and like a toilet doll.
Yeah. Yes. And then 2 weeks before the wedding, they cancelled the wedding. They separated.
Yep.
And she rang me to say, can I please have $800 for the dress?
Oh, wow.
Did you give her the money?
Oh, no.
Do you still talk to her at all?
Yeah.
Actually, we had another little falling out later.
Really? Really, never saw that coming.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. How could you expect someone to pay $800 to,
Yeah.
To look like a toilet
doll? No. It's going to be a dress I could wear for many events in the future.
Oh, God, yeah. Because burnt orange taffeta is just so now.
Yes, I was going to say, to many events in 30 years' time at the retro 80s.
Yeah, when it comes back around.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks.
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ellie and Spider podcast.
Well, look, the GC Laughs, we absolutely love this festival. It's been on since the 15th. It's on till this Sunday.
It's a great comedy festival.
We have spoken to so many wonderful comedians. But look, possibly our favouritest thing out of this entire festival is the fact that our very own Tom Tate is the obsession of one of the comedians. And he joins us right now. Good morning, Sam Taunton.
Hello, guys. Very exciting. What a time to join you. Tom Tate's back in as well for another term.
Yes.
Is there a coincidence that my push has got him back in? I don't know.
It could be. Well, you asked this when we spoke to you the first time.
So I'm obsessed with Tom Tate at the moment. I want to start a low-level campaign. I'm thinking of doing it on the project this week to try to get Tom Tate to come to my show. Could you guys put in a word for me? Don't dog me here because this means a lot to me.
Right? No,
this
is a big deal.
I'll think it through, but yes.
Yeah! Okay, Sam, what is the sort of thing that Tom Tate says that gets the project so interested in what he's doing?
Oh, well, it's just his general demeanor, I think. I don't know. Like, certain politicians in this country hold themselves with, you know, like they care about their reputation. Tom Tate doesn't do that. He's a freewheeling man.
Yeah.
It's what I respect about him.
Yeah.
But why was he so important to get to your show? Because he said, yes, you've got him a couple of tickets. Everybody's talked to everyone. He's a mover and shaker. Why are you going to take the mickey out of our mayor?
No, I'd never do that. I low-level want to be a mayor. That's my dream job. Once comedy's done, I want to become a mayor. And I talk about this all the time on the project with Waleed, that I try to carry myself like a mayor. Do you know what I mean? I'm always walking around shaking hands, remembering people's names, kissing babies if there's a camera around.
Yep.
That's my dream gig. No one in this country is doing it better than Tom Tate.
That's
the way he stood up for the Gold Coast, tried to get the Commonwealth in there single-handedly with no concept of a financial plan. He was just like, let's do it.
Yep.
Bring it to the Gold Coast. We love it. I love the man.
Now, listen, Sam, the deal was if we managed to get Tom Tate to your show, which
that's
is on this Saturday night, we cannot wait for it, you promised that we would get a shout-out on the project, our breakfast show.
Yeah, I have no recollection of that, actually, guys.
I've got that.
No, I'm joking. I'm a man.
Hey,
I'm a man of my word. Tonight on project, you guys are getting a shout-out.
All right.
Yeah!
And what we're going to do is we're going to see your show on Saturday here at Hodder. I'm going to give you a Triple M Gold T-shirt, and on the Monday, you double down, and you wear that on the project.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a miracle worker. I don't know. Like, I can definitely get a shout out, but there's so many people in wardrobe that carefully craft my outfit.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. I'll be like,
really?
Actually, I think the Triple M Gold Coast shirt works, but we'll see what happens.
We can't wait. Of course, you are here Saturday night. You got the mayor and his beautiful wife Ruth in the stands now. What can people expect?
Well, I think now the whole show is going to be about Tom Tate. I have been preparing an hour of material, but I don't know how I'm going to be able to concentrate when I'm looking at great man in the audience.
Exactly. On a red hot tip, they actually, obviously, you know, he just got re-elected, but it was actually their 44th wedding anniversary last weekend.
Beautiful.
So you'll have to give him a shout out for that.
Oh, my God. This story just gets better and better, doesn't it?
And four-term mayor on his 44th anniversary. It's all about the fours.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
Well, Sam Taunton, we are so excited for you to be here this Saturday night. And look, let's be honest, we're a little bit more excited for our shout-out on the project. Love your work.
Love it, guys. Thanks so much for hooking it up. I'm come through on my end of the deal, okay?
Thank you, buddy.
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ellie and Spider podcast.
Now, I threw it out there. I said, look, we've got two doubles to Live at Incubus, Broadwater Parklands. It is on the 7th of April. And we wanted to know why you wanted these tickets. And Robin Chugan, you're a single dad, solo dad, find it tough at times, and you really want these tickets.
Yeah, mate, that'd be really great. Just, you know, have a weekend off to do something for me. I'm a child-raising, mortgage-paying solo dad.
Mate, you couldn't have more of my admiration. Yeah. What are your kids called, mate?
Jordan and Annalise. They just turned 9. We've been on our own since their 4th birthday.
Jordan and Annalise, 9-year-olds. Okay, happy birthday.
And then we're going to Beck in Broadbeach. Beck, you'd love these too, these tickets.
Yes, I would love the tickets.
Why is that? Mm-hmm.
Because their song Drive really lifts me up when I'm feeling down.
Okay.
And gives me drive.
The Incubus song you're talking
about. Okay. All right. Well, Beck and Rob, there's only one thing standing between you and these tickets, because at the moment we know Ali is doing this.
Got me up in the gym, just working on my fitness. He's my witness.
Why has this got anything to do with them going? I'm getting totally stitched up here. Whatever
you're
doing,
no, you're not. You're trying to lose 15 kilos. Yeah. You've got until next Thursday to do so.
Yep.
And I thought
I'm on track.
And if you don't, I can go to your house and chuck out anything I want.
And I've already started buying big locks.
Okay.
So I'm not looking good.
Rob and Beck, who wants to go to Live in Incubus, you can go if Ali. Uh-huh. I'll give you these tickets if Ali. You eat 2 sausage rolls and 2 pies.
Oh, they smell good.
If you eat those, Rob and Beck go. If they don't, they're not going.
What are you going to do?
Well, what do you reckon I'm going to do?
Don't get angry.
I am angry. I'm already struggling to lose some weight.
Don't tell her how to feel, Al.
Yes.
Oh, well, it's not my fault.
Oh, Rob and Beck, seriously.
I honestly...
Well, you better start eating.
Rob and Beck, I'm just going to say this to you. In the first week, I lost 4 kilos. Mm-hmm. Since then, which has been nearly another 2 weeks, I've only lost another 1 kilo.
Well,
he's a solo dad, works very hard, 9 years on his own.
This is true, Flan.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to eat the friggin' sausage rolls!
Careful. Eat them and then we'll...
No, Jesus. We are not awarding these until those are gone. So let's go and find out what's happening in the newsroom.
Well, you know what? If I'm eating sausage rolls and pies, get me some sauce.
Fair
enough. You are an absolute
What sort of half-assed feed is this?
Yeah.
Where's the sauce?
Flan, Mum and Dad are fighting again.
I'm angling for one of those pies.
Yes, enjoy the show, Rob and Beck. Well, you both deserve it.
They're not going yet.
They're not going until they're gone.
You know what? I will say this. Triple M Gold family, my personal trainer, Andre, said to me the other day, he's not really going to chuck the stuff out of your house, is he?
Yes,
this is all just for radio. And I said, Andre, you have no idea.
Hey, Ali,
there's
a lot of speaking and not much eating.
Shut your pie hole.
Yeah, we've got an evil genius in the studio. No, you are an evil genius. Okay.
I'd call him something else.
You made sure you listened when Ali said, if I don't lose 15 kilos by Easter, you can throw away anything you like in my house. You love cleaning up. You've contrived to make this happen. Now, you've brought people onto the show, Rob from Chugan and Beck from Broadbeach, who would love to go and see Live and Incubus, amazing bands. We have all of the best tickets here at Triple M. But what you're saying is, evil genius, if Alison Plath eats sausage rolls, they get the tickets.
Yep, Ali had to eat 2 party pies for Beck to go, and she had to eat 2 sausage rolls for Rob to go. Ali, how are we going?
Well, I've had the 2 sausage rolls and 1 pie. I'm onto the next pie. Here goes a bite.
So who's won tickets so far?
Rob, congratulations. You're going to Live and Incubus.
Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm feeling really torn about this, Ali. I'm feeling pretty torn about this.
Oh, gee, you sound torn.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you're feeling torn, Rob, makes me want to I'm happy that I've done it for you, you know.
Thank you.
It is foul play, though, on Spider's behalf.
Okay. And also, Beck in Broadbeach, congratulations. You're going to go and see Live at Incubus as well.
Oh, thanks so much, guys.
No, not at all.
Thank you.
How do you feel, Beck, when you know that Ali now, with the equivalent of one sausage roll at 330 calories, has to take 9,799 steps or walk for 85 minutes to get back to where you were this morning when you woke up?
Oh, that's not very fair, is it?
No, you know what? I'm happy to do it for you both.
There we go.
He's found my weak spot, but that's the last time you're allowed to do that.
Okay, thank you. Good luck, Ellie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's awesome.
No more sausage roll wild cards, young man.
Encourage, man.
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ellie, and Spider podcast.
Spider Everett was talking this morning about a woman in Madraba who got pulled over by the police and they found quite a lot of drugs in the
Allegedly. About 35 kilograms of meth and worth about $4.7 million.
Well, it led to you asking, and I loved it. I was driving in, I was listening, and you said, if the police pulled you over right now, what would be in your boat?
Yeah.
Have a listen to this one.
Mate, I've got some seaweed, I've got a couple of chickens, some beef, bit of rice, all wrapped up in some nice sushi rolls for you.
Oh, delicious! Sushi rolls. Sushi in your boot. That sounds like a dodgy movie title.
It does sound like a dodgy movie title, so I made it so.
From the same people that brought you salami in my glove box, now comes the feel-good fish movie of the year.
Sushi in your boot.
Sushi in my boot.
You put your what in my where?
Starring Ali Plath as Ali Plath.
My opinion changes on an hourly basis.
And Ali Plath as the sushi in the boot.
Oh, I feel judged, but I'm okay with it.
It's the unrefrigerated fish movie of the year in all dodgy cinemas. Now.
Triple M Gold would like to let listeners know that whatever Flan says has nothing to do with this station.
Sushi in your boot. Thank you, Flan.
Not at all.
It's got to happen.
It's so dodgy I had to play.
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ellie and Spider podcast.
Well, it's been revealed yesterday. It was talked about, mid last year when the World Cup was on, that the Matildas are going to get a statue outside Suncorp Stadium. Yeah, it was amazing. And look, it did captivate the nation. But, you know, we're going to throw it around now. And there's a lot of polls online at the moment. Do you think the Matildas should get a statue outside Suncorp Stadium? Now, they finished fourth in the World Cup. They played the semis. They lost. They played the playoff for third. They lost that. But they did captivate a nation. So it's going to be 6 metres wide. 2.5 metres high, so a big statue. Flan, are you for it or against it?
If it's Sam Kerr spewing in a cab, yeah, that's a great statue.
Well, that would be a good statue.
I think it's a bit early to reward the Matildas, but I'd like to know what Ali thinks, because you're a woman. It's the Matildas. It's the national women's team.
Well, I want to hear a bit more about why. So you're saying no.
Yeah, because I just feel like it's a bit too early to be charging statues around. There's plenty of other people who deserve a statue, I think, before the Matildas get recognised. It always takes a while. Wally Lewis took years and years and years for him to get a statue.
And do you mean because they may have achieved that high pinnacle, like won the World Cup, for example? You know, they came fourth.
I'm very happy to acknowledge this team. I think they're extraordinary. I think it's, 12 or 13 games in a row that they've sold out now, and that's amazing. That's amazing. But I do think it's a bit early.
Okay. And what do you think, Spide?
Me? Yeah, I'm the same. Fourth, if they go on TV ratings, well, you may as well have one of Scott and Charlene in Neighbours. You know, one of the highest.
Gee, that would be popular, though. If that was in Ramsey Street, a lot of people would go to it, wouldn't they?
Well, they should if it's going on TV ratings, because they still finish fourth. So, that's me. You know, there's a lot of, as you say, a lot of people haven't got one. For me, Michelle Payne winning the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah.
So there's different ones that I think are probably a little bit before that. But, Ali,
I would agree with that, with Michelle Payne, and there should be a statue of her. This is one I find really tough because there are so fewer statues of women in this country and worldwide, but than there are of men. There's something like in the capital city, something like 135 statues of men, 23 of women. It's really quite shocking how under-recognized women have been through the ages. But then you've got the other side of it too, where, I mean, I am one of those women, I will put my hand up and say, I do not want to receive anything just because I'm a woman.
Sure, sure.
You know, so
What about Steph Gilmore, for instance, you know, statue down at Snapper?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a 7-time world champion.
Cheryl McMahon's got one. I did a function with her over the weekend, netballer. I didn't know a lot about her, but she's the greatest netballer in the world.
That's right. And she should have a statue.
And she's got one.
One thing I was going to say is I would like to see us go back in time and, go through history and acknowledge those women that have been, you know, forged the way.
Jessica Watson.
You know, I was reading up about this recently and reading a post. It's a relative of a lady called Dame Enid Lyons and Dame Dorothy Tangney, the first women elected to federal parliament in this country. They were immortalized in statues 80 years after.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? So I would love to see.
See, they should have seen them in their lifetime.
That's right. I'd love to see it go back in time.
So I'm saying no to the Matildas.
However.
Get in the line.
Here's another one to flip me over the other way. Look at what they have done for young girls in sport in particular. They have really fired.
Matildas, yes or no?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, that took a while. That hurt to say, didn't it?
No,
and look, 95%, and that's just going over all the polls that I've looked at through Fox Sports, through social media, 95% are saying no, not yet, and only 5% saying yes. But then, okay, let's flip it. And who should? Because I was saying Scott and Charlene as a bit of a joke in Ramsey Street.
I think it would work. It would become a tourist attraction.
Absolutely. So who should get
icon?
Or, you know, like you said, Sam Kerr outside of a taxi spewing. Absolutely. That would be. No.
What about you? Absolutely. You said it as if you'd really thought about that intelligently. Absolutely.
Who do you reckon needs a statue?
Okay.
So anybody that said something stupid, something that's gone viral, something that makes you laugh, who do you think should have a statue?
Yeah. I think that the guy who wrote this song really caught the imagination of the world, and I think it deserves to be recognised in bronze.
Is it this one?
That's the guy.
Yeah. £1, £2, £3, £4.
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic song and it caught the whole world and it set it alight.
Absolutely. So 1-300-925-666. The Matildas aren't getting a statue.
No way. Yep.
We will start putting our case together for anybody else who you think should get a statue. Sally and Burley Waters. Sally, who do you reckon? Oh, very quickly, do you reckon the Matildas need a statue, yes or no?
Not yet. It's too early.
I agree.
Okay, Sally.
I'm thinking maybe wait to see how they go at the Olympics first.
Yeah, who do you reckon needs a statue?
I reckon Ash Barty.
Oh. It's officially a Barty party.
Oh, yes.
That's a great suggestion, Sally. Yeah, why does she connect with you?
Well, I love tennis, and I think she's carved a way for proves to women that you can multiply different sports.
Yeah.
Start from tennis to golf to cricket.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Great suggestion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Sally.
I'd say yes to that immediately, that one.
Yeah.
All right, Donna, in bigger waters.
Well, I really think that the original Matildas in the 80s deserve a statue before the current one. So the other ones who were pioneers in the sport who had to fight against the men to play, and then they had to actually work jobs to pay for their airfares. They had no sponsorship. And even one of them lives on the Gold Coast, Sue Monteith. We're lucky to have one living on the Gold Coast. I think they deserve a statue before the current Matildas.
I love that, Donna. You. And you know what, Donna? I honestly believe that the current Matildas would be so on board with that.
Yeah, so do I, actually.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Donna.
We're lucky to have you on the coast, Donna, to remember those people's names and quote them like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I love that suggestion.
Okay, Matt and Rabina, do you reckon the Matildas need a statue?
I don't think they need a statue yet. They did well. They came fourth. What about the Australian netball women's team? How many world championships have they won? And they've got nothing. You talk about Liesl Jones.
Our
very own Liesl.
You talk about Stephanie Rice. You talk about a lot of the women's gold medal swimming teams.
Yep.
They've got nothing up there. Where do we draw the line?
They're all sports people. But what about some personalities out there? Like, would you like to see a statue of this guy here.
Eating a meal?
Yes.
A succulent Chinese meal?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. See, that's what we need statues of around. We should be a country of statues of people who have made famous quotes.
What about a local Gold Coaster?
Yeah. Well, I'll find you, Peter.
Peter Foster.
Imagine that on the beach and the two police.
The two coppers nailing him on that beach.
Palm Beach, it was, up there, up north. And there's the two police and there's Peter Foster.
Statue of that.
Matty,
done.
What say you?
What about Dame Edna Edbridge?
Yes. There's this fella.
Nick Muscuda outside the dairy. Nick Minute.
Nick Minuteman.
Nick Minuteman would be a ripper.
He's a statue for sure.
Need him, and we do need this one. Everybody knows this bloke just sitting in his car.
What happened, mate?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm just waiting for a mate.
Is that why your car's all smashed up and you're up on the grass at the moment, or what?
Yeah. From mate.
Yeah, give him a statue.
Give him all the statues.
Matt, what are we dealing with here, Matt? Honestly.
You with us?
I love it. Absolutely love it.
Hey, people would come to the Hall of Shame.
Yes.